Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Look, at this point, you know my life story, what I'm going through every day, and I'm currently not in Austin, Tejas. As you know, and I've said it numerous times over the last couple weeks, house got nuked during, they have a name for it. I don't know what the name of the storm is. I want to say it's Xyla. It's something sexy. However, when it happens to you, it is not sexy. And so we're back in North Carolina again at a rental property that is beautiful, and I'm not complaining, and I'm super grateful and lucky. However, with everything that's going on with the media company and all these shows, and we just signed two more shows, it's a very stressful time to have something like this happen to you. Therefore, whenever I come back, I go see Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank was somebody that helped me back in the day. How many times have you been on the show now at this point?
This is number 3.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was number 506, like number 620, and then whatever this one will be.
You're becoming like our Dr. Oz.
Oh, God. Please don't call me that.
You know why, though, right?
Because I'm good looking?
You're okay. I mean, I'd fuck you, you know? Like, I'm not, like, if I had to, right? I wouldn't shy away from it of, like, you're not going to be the last one picked in, like, dodge fuck, you know, if we were.
It's not middle of the road.
Yeah, you're great.
I'm a six.
You're great. but if I had to. But, like, dude, you're one of those people that's, you know, and I know every doctor likes to say this of, like, hey, I'm not just your doctor, I'm your friend. But it's like, it's true. I'm stressed the fuck out of my mind right now. Mm-hmm. I come back every time and I'm like, hey, I feel off. My balance is off. I feel off. And I asked you, I was like, hey, man, can you come out here and just chat with me tonight? Come do this show. There's a lot of people that are going through this right now. I think 30% of all Texans got displaced in some form or fashion. And it was due to, like, busted pipes, man. For real. My insurance company is USAA. They're out of San Antonio. Handle a lot of military and all that other stuff. And that was the number they gave me. And they were like, look, man, we're out. We're out of people. We're out of help. All this stuff. So I had to fly in a Drinking Bro, from Michigan to come in and help with the restoration, the water process, and all that stuff, because they were out. And I understand it. Me and my wife try to call people and get them on the phone. They're out. Everybody's out of everything, and there is no help to be found. Therefore, I'm stressed the fuck out right now, and I called you, and I'm like, come down and do a show, dude. Let's chat about this, because I'm sure other people are going through this at home and with everything else that's going on in life. And how do you stay alive? How do I stay alive is what I'm asking you tonight.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And it was the first thing I said to you when I saw you. I was like, you look stressed, dude.
You look like shit.
You know, I don't know.
It's fine. I do. I'm stressed out.
I mean, I've gotten to know you well enough at this point where I'm like, I can tell when you're not feeling good. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so that's the million-dollar question, right? How do you stay sane during insane times? How do you manage to pull through times that are overwhelming? And you know, it's hard to do that if you feel like crap. And I mean, you know, this is the third time I've been on this show, and every time I go on, I get more and more guys, more Drinking Bros, calling me, telling me the same thing, where it's like, I've been to my regular doctor, you know, I told him I feel tired, I told him I can't think, I can't remember anything, I'm moody, you know, I don't have any energy, my dick doesn't work, I have no libido. And they want to put me on antidepressants. They want to put me on all these different things to try and manage.
Pills, yeah.
Yeah, they want to put you on pills because they want to reactively treat you. So rather than stopping and saying, whoa, 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 guys, what's going on? Why are you feeling this way? They just start writing shit.
Yeah.
They just start writing pills and scripts. And I have taken the exact other way of treating this. I stop and I say, why are you feeling this way? And that's really what makes kind of my approach different. And why I've been so successful in treating so many guys. And now a lot of the guys with Drinking Bros wives are starting to call me and being like, well, my husband is a different person. Hey, I feel like shit too. Can you help me?
Right.
And it's the same concept. It's understanding what the root cause of the problem is and then working from there. And a lot of times, especially in a lot of military, first responders, high stress people as it is,
yeah,
your hormones are out of whack. I mean, I can tell you just from talking to guys. I'm like, look, your testosterone is probably around 300, or it's around 250, or it's around 400. Oh, yeah, I had a test, and it was that last year, and my doctor said I'm fine. I'm
like, Yeah.
Do you feel fine? Yeah. I'm like, no, I feel terrible. Oh, well, then maybe you're not fine. So there's a very big difference between this thing, and it drives me nuts. It's this, oh, you're low normal. You're not low normal. You're 27, or you're 31, or you're 32. There's nothing normal about a testosterone of 300 or 350 or 250. It's not even normal for my 83-year-old father. So that's how you stay sane, is you try and get your body and your mind and everything that's going on with you as a human being to the best possible function that you can. That way, when it's a shitstorm, like what's happening in Texas, or things are falling apart in your life, or you lose your job, or there's stress, or any of the things that happen living this thing called life, your body can handle it. Because if you don't have balanced hormones and you try to deal with stress, how does that work out for you?
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's your honesty too. Like, when you rocked in, you really did say, hey, man, you look like fucking hell.
I think that's exactly what I said.
And I think when I went to your office for the first time, like, when we didn't matter any of that shit, you were like, yo, man, how are you doing? Yeah. And it was the first time any doctor had ever asked me that. I was like, what do you mean, how the fuck am I? I'm fine. You know, I'm good. What's up? And you're like, no, but how are you really doing inside or whatever? And I was just like, oh, well, shit. Here's what the fuck's going on or whatever. Because I could tell you were like a genuine dude, right? Whereas that doesn't happen too many times. And I haven't, because I'm in Texas now, man. And I tried to get a concierge doctor when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do any of it. They're no lie. They were like, dude, you can't give us, we're booked. Like,
yeah.
We can't take your money. We're sorry. And I was like, do you have any leads or anything? And they're like, no, we don't. And I was just like, God damn it, man. What the fuck? Now, I know with you, you have a bunch of employees, so like you're able to handle shit like this.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck is going on with them. And
so
I can't have these. I don't have anybody to have these fucking conversations with.
That's
Texas.
Why you call me, man. I'll
yes.
take care of it.
I know, but I don't want to fucking bother you either, where it's like.
You bother me all the time.
Hey, man. Yeah, but usually it's like, dude, there's a game on tonight. Spreads 8. What do you think?
Right, exactly. No, and you know, the concierge doctor is kind of what I do, but not what I do. So the concierge doctor only wants to work 3 to 4 hours a day. They only want 1,000 patients, or they want 500 patients, and they see those patients every 6 months. And, you know, they're on the golf course by 2. And that's fine. That works for some people.
Is it a set salary or something? Like,
no, so it depends. It depends.
Because the last guy I called, they said 200, and they were capped out. And I was like, what the fuck? And by the way, if you're listening at home, the only reason we need it is because we're on the road and we travel so much and all that shit. I just don't have time to make appointments, and I realize other doctors' offices are busy and all that shit. So therefore, if I'm paying somebody monthly, yes, they better come to the fucking office or whatever, right?
Right.
But these people are only taking like 200 patients.
So my cousin is switching to a concierge practice. He's kind of at the end of his career, doesn't want to kill himself, and he capped his practice at 500. So it's, unless it's part of like a big group where there's one doctor and they kind of farm out these smaller satellite offices, but it's really up to the doctor about how many patients they take. It has nothing to do with, you know, they're only allowed to take so many. It's just what they, can handle.
Right.
So it depends on the person. Like, some are at 500, there's some are at 200, some are at 1,000, some are at 1,500. It all is how hard the doctor wants to work. Because most concierge doctors, they like to be able to do kind of what I do, where they can sit down and talk to people and have appointments that are an hour, new patient appointments, a half hour follow-up appointments. And that's very much how I run my practice, is the same concept. I just don't charge a monthly fee. You know, I don't charge you $2,500 for the pleasure of my company.
Right.
And that's actually one of the biggest questions I get. And it was one of the things that I definitely wanted to talk about today, is how much do I cost? I mean, you know,
yeah, because I don't actually know, and I'll tell you why, right? Whenever you go, because I've been on testosterone, how long have I been seeing you? 2 years?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. It's a monthly bill, and like where I'm at in Texas, like you pay for the month and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So, because I don't do the injections myself, you guys do that shit. So it's a monthly bill, so I don't really think about it, I guess. Much like everything else in this life where you're just like, what is it? All right, great. Is it, you have auto pay? Dead serious, where it's just...
Yeah, it just kind of gets taken out. And
because it's become a part of my life.
Right.
Where if I miss like a week or something of you know, if I'm on some crazy trip or doing whatever, And when I mean, when I say trip, I mean like an interview somewhere. It's not like I'm going to fucking Belize or something, but,
it'd be nice though.
Be real goddamn nice, but I'm not.
Yeah, no,
instead, I'm, you know,
we're sitting here in Carolina Beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The wind howling behind us.
CB. It's one of those things where it's like, all right, great. I swipe my card and move on with my fucking day. What do you cost?
So we've kind of bounced back and forth between the monthly and then, you know, not doing. And so we've moved more towards almost a pay-as-you-go kind of model.
Yeah.
And I tell guys, especially for my first responders, because we do give discounts for first responders. It's around, if you're just on testosterone, it's about $1,400 over the course of the year.
So, oh, well, shit.
Like an initial visit's like, and then these are non-discounted prices. So my initial visit's $210. My initial labs are $199. Testosterone for 10 mls is $140, which is either lasts you between 10 and 20 weeks, depending on how we dose it. If we add HCG, it goes up to about $1,800 for the course of the year. If we add Somorlin, it goes up a little bit more. So
you're looking at somewhere like $100-$120 a month, somewhere.
Right. If you're just on testosterone, about $100. If you want to budget, it's about $100-$120 a month. You know, if you had HCG, you're getting close to like $150 a month.
Shit, I'm paying more in Texas. Yeah, dude. Well, I'm paying, everything is, man. Austin,
everything's bigger in Texas.
Nah, that's fucking bullshit. I love. By the way, I love Texas. I'm not shitting on it, dude. There was two things I was not expecting in Texas. Whataburger to be shitty.
What?
And I'll take heat for that forever. I'll always take heat from the audience for that. I don't think it's the greatest. I really don't. And everybody from Texas loves it. And then the prices to be so fucking high for everything. Mm-hmm. It's starting to reach like LA prices. I am paying. All right. So let's see. I'm paying, I think, $54 a week.
And that's about right.
Oh, it is. All right.
I mean, for
I don't have
other,
to go back and burn them down. And
for
be like,
other,
hey, man.
Other people, you're looking at anywhere between, if you do the monthly thing for a concierge doctor, I mean, you're looking at, $200 to $300 a month.
Okay.
Right in there.
All right.
You know, I'm not that expensive.
No, because, you're not at all. But like,
because I think that we need to, this type of medicine needs to be available to guys. Like I get calls from guys all over the place, you know, and it's not fair for me to charge out the ass like some of these clinics do. Like there's this clinic in Boston that a patient came to me from who was charging like $400 or $500 a month for the same fucking thing. The same medicine from the same pharmacy and the same set of labs from the same lab company.
Will you ship it out to Dan?
Yeah.
And you can do that all over the country, right?
I can ship anywhere in the country. I have a national account with LabCorp. So I can really do stuff anywhere.
All 50 states.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
We're in the process of doing all 50 states. We're not quite there yet, but we're almost there.
Gotcha. Yeah, because if I could put the needle inside myself, get super fucking sexual with you. If I could put the needle inside myself, I would skip all the middlemen and just do it. And whatever. Yeah. Even Jessie, my wife, is just like, hey, dude, I'll fucking do this for you. I don't trust her because she's not a doctor.
Yeah.
She's great at a lot of things, but she's not a fucking doctor. I don't want to be pissed at her for sticking me wrong or whatever. Because I go to this place in Texas, in Austin right now, and if they give me a bad, they know the show and everything else, right?
Yeah.
If I get fucking stuck and I'm not happy about it, I'll tell them. Like, there's one I was just like, I'm not going to you anymore, Stabby. I'm all fucking done with your bullshit. And she was like, what? And somebody else was like, hey, man, I'm the best in the West. Like, and I'll do this shit. So it's fine. Luckily, there's a place like right by my office and I can fucking do it.
Yeah.
I wish your shit was, you had offices all over the goddamn country and I don't have to worry about this, but.
Well, you know, it's like we were talking about before we went on air. You know, there's a lot of need for what I do. And
we just had a fucking guy on yesterday. All he does is sports science, huge best-selling author, all that other shit, right? He broke the Alex Rodriguez story for steroids.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he broke that whole scandal, right? Nice. So, for Sports Illustrated. Just had him on the show maybe 2 hours ago. And we were talking about this, and he goes, dude, every guy in their 30s and 40s is pretty much doing this. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you're in the military and you come back and you're like 26, 27, he's like, I've seen it, you know, as low as that.
Yeah.
And it's like, everybody's fucking doing this shit. And then you start to see ads pop up on Facebook, but you don't know what the fuck that is. Like, I'm not buying that type of shit off Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these places, they're just getting anybody with a freaking heartbeat to write medicine for them. And, you know, there's one of the reasons that my patients do so well is that I actually, one, I know what I'm doing. That's kind of a big thing, is that I'm not doing this to make money. This is all I've done for the last 6 years at the Frank Institute. This is all I do. This is my entire focus is on hormone therapy.
And you have to have somebody to check the levels, for real, or else.
Yeah, it's all about restoring and regenerating. And that's what people don't understand. This is not one of my old chief residents is like, oh, it's a steroid check. I'm like, no, it's not. That's what a lot of these places are. You come in, get your shot next, come and get. Nobody sits and talks to you. No one understands why you're on it. No one looks at, hey, are you working out? Hey, what's your diet?
Right.
How's your stress level? All of these things contribute to it. And if you don't have that understanding and you're just sticking everybody with the same damn protocol, you start getting real bad things happening. And that's what's starting to happen at these places. Because again, I had a patient that came from a clinic in Florida. No one checked his labs in 4 years. I checked his labs. His testosterone was 3,500. I started looking at all the stuff he was on. And I was like, well, when did they add this? It goes, oh, I was feeling bad, so they added this. Then they added this.
Was he huge?
No, he wasn't. He was.
Was he ripped?
He was ripped, yeah. He was ripped as hell.
Is that a secret? God damn it. Then juice my shit up. Fuck. I will say this.
He was unhealthy, though. He was very unhealthy.
Being this stressed out, dude, if I was on all that shit right now, I'd fucking throw somebody off a roof.
Yeah, no. And that's the other thing, is that you just can't put people on shit just to put people on stuff. And everyone's like, oh, I want to be on growth hormone. I want to be on growth hormone. No, you don't.
You told me not to. You were like, hey, man, don't do the fucking HGH.
I'm not on growth hormone.
Yeah.
And I'm a doctor, and I like to think I'm kind of smarter than the average bear when it comes to this stuff. I'm not on growth hormone because, one, the FDA, no likey, and are cracking down hard on these clinics that are prescribing growth hormone and just doing it willy-nilly. So, again, all this has to be done within the guise of a treatment plan. And, you know, I have guys that come to me at 27. And they come from the VA, and they'll be like, the VA won't even check my levels. Well, why? Because you're symptomatic as shit. Well, they say there's 27. There's no way that that I can have these symptoms. I'm like, oh, okay, because you're tired, you can't remember anything, you're cranky, and that's a big one. Everyone doesn't realize that mood, and especially increased irritability, is common with low testosterone.
Right.
And the most common question I get is, oh, if I start juicing, quote, unquote, which makes me want to vomit, because we're not juicing, we're prescribing doctor monitored medication, I'm going to get even more irritated and I'm going to roid rage. I don't know how many guys I'm treating right now. It's a lot. I have zero that have roid rage.
Right.
And including myself, I'm on testosterone. My probably biggest symptom was irritability. And my wife was like, I'm worried about you going on testosterone, despite her also being a doctor. And this is literally what I do for a living. She's like, I'm worried you're going to get more irritable. And I'm the calmest and the most level I have ever been in my life.
I would say this, knowing you for 2 years at this point. Because we hang on the fucking rag, too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You're just a cool dude. But what does your wife do? What type of doctor is she?
She's a radiologist.
Okay.
And radiologists, everyone thinks they just read films. They have to understand pathology and a wide range of disease processes. And so she knows a lot about a lot. But the hormones, she doesn't know anything about, not that she doesn't know anything about it, but she doesn't really have to deal with anything involving hormone levels. And so, you know, part of her is the old, what we learned 15 years ago in medical school. Oh, testosterone bad. It's going to, you know, you're going to roid rage. You're going to do this. You're going to hump everything that moves. You're going to do.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happens. There's a difference between an optimal testosterone between 800 and 1100, a shit testosterone of 200, and a roid testosterone of 2,500. That's a very, very, very big difference. That optimal level, 800 to 1,000, 1,100, that's where I keep my levels. That's perfect. That's exactly where you should be. That's where the research says you should be. So, you know, it's just, and I have primary care doctors here in Wilmington and radiologists here, urologists here in Wilmington, OBGYNs here in Wilmington that are like, your testosterone of 350 is fine.
Yeah, that's what I was told. My doctor.
It's not fine. It's not fine at all. And if you're hearing that, I tell people, if it's not me, if you don't want to call me, that's fine. But call somebody else that knows what the fuck they're talking about and let them look at your levels. Let them look at not just your total testosterone, but your free testosterone and your sex hormone binding globulin and your estradiol and your FSH and LH and your DHEA and your thyroid. This is not, we test one thing and I put you on a standard protocol. That's just, that's bad medicine and that's how you hurt people.
Yeah, because even, you know, shit, my wife was just like, you're going to get fucking jacked off this, whatever. And I was like, I hope so. It's not the case. Because, you know, you got to do some other shit, healthy diet, yeah. life, all the other stuff. Traveling and doing all the things we do, you know, we haven't had that. And obviously COVID was a fucking bitch. Gyms were closed and everything else. But what I did tell her was, I was like, look, the most important thing is, like, I mentally, I feel great versus how I was 2 years ago. Right. And I think for me personally, just my own experience throughout all of this, that's been the biggest life changer for me, where it was like, all right, even after all the stress and all the other shit that's going on, I would have fucking killed myself at this point. Like, but you know, I don't feel like that mentally. I'm able to deal with shit, and I'm stressed, and I'm probably no more stressed than everybody else is out in the world going through the same fucking problems right now. But at least mentally, I feel balanced and everything is fine, where I'm like, all right, great. There is nothing that is unexplained mentally going on in my life, if that helps the audience and whoever's listening right now. I think that's my best like benefit of it, where it's like, all right, it's great. I know why I'm stressed or why I'm angry about certain things. The part that was unknown was before, where I was like, man, I can't understand. Mm-hmm. Everything is going great. I don't understand why I'm pissed or stressed or whatever. And I was just like, for what? And then I got on this, and then fuck, 2 years later, you know, same shit. Like nothing is ever. And that's another reason I wanted to have you on today. I was like, dude, 2 years later, nothing is gone back to the way it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going through any of the mental problems or things I was going through at that time. So like, cause you worry when you start doing shit on a weekly basis of whether or not like, hey man, can I go back or can I return or will this happen or will I have to take more or less or whatever it is? And like, no, I mean, shit, so far so good. Mm-hmm. And anyways, thanks.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how I'm gonna deal with the fucking stress on top of this, but whatever.
Well, you know, and it's hard to deal with stress if you don't have any gas in the tank. And if you're constantly running on empty, if your testosterone's in the shitter, you're constantly running on empty. And you brought up an interesting thing about the mental aspect, and that's a very commonly either misdiagnosed or completely ignored symptom of low testosterone, is this mental clarity, this brain fog. I can't remember anything. I can't focus. I can't concentrate. And it gets misdiagnosed all the freaking time. And, you know, I get the military guys, oh, it's from my head injuries. Oh, it's from this. It's from PTSD. It's from all these things that these guys go through and have to deal with. But no one stops and says, wait a minute. The one thing that makes us men is testosterone. And guess what? Our ability to think, react, understand has to do and is related to the amount of testosterone in our body. And if it's low, we can't do those things at the optimal level. And I can't tell you how many guys come to me and are like, yeah, man, the VA or this place put me on 3 or 4 different antidepressants. None of them worked. Yeah. I'm on sleeping medicine. It doesn't work. Now I'm on Adderall and it doesn't work. I was like, did anybody test your testosterone? No, I'm 28. And?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got popped around pretty good overseas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, head injury and reduction in the HP axis, which controls testosterone, there's a pretty clear delineation there. And it's just completely ignored. And it's incredibly frustrating for me as a physician and for me as a human being to see these guys suffering. It's like, son of a bitch. Like, how is nobody addressing this? And that's one of the reasons I get so many guys calling me is, you know, they're at their wit's end.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's tough to see guys suffer when they don't need to, when all you got to do is pick up the phone and call me.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, shit, I'm not real serious all the fucking time. But this is one thing that changed my life. So, I was like, hey, man, fuck, thank you. You know, I don't thank a lot of people either, where I'm like, thank you. You did a fucking awesome job.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And, you know, it was my pleasure and my honor to do it for you. I mean, you know, and I'm not being facetious, but
if you fucked it up though, you know, I would have went on air.
Oh yeah. I'd be fucking cleaning bathrooms right now at Walmart. If you did,
all we ask on the show, just don't lie about what you do or what's going to happen. Like fucking A, dude.
But you know, but look at what you do. And I mean, I'm not like blowing smoke up your ass, but look at the platform that you have and the hundreds of guys that you have introduced to me and that I have been honored and the ability to help these guys.
Yeah.
The guys that literally had nowhere else to go. And, you know, if that was me helping you first, because now you can take your experience and how much better you feel and shout it from behind that microphone and millions of people hear it. It's pretty freaking powerful, man.
But I wouldn't do it if look, you hadn't changed my life. And I'll be fucking real. I have never had another doctor on since.
And I wouldn't expect you to do or say anything that you don't believe. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't want you to. So, I mean, what you say is, you know, that's really what's going on with you.
Well, you have, let's see, you have me, Dan, I think Dan's brother now. I think my wife.
it's a family affair.
Everybody. Well, I mean, my wife's for different reasons, but women are going through this shit too with hormones.
Absolutely.
And, you know, especially after having a couple kids and all that other stuff. But you have like a fucking ton of my friends. So, if I fucked that up, dude, it'd be crazy. Look, you've been on the show before. You know the rules. I get some sponsors.
Yeah,
sponsor who pay for the shit wagon to be on the air. And then I get some crazy questions for you afterwards. Like, we're going to get into some fucked up shit here because there's a bunch of other weird treatments that are coming out. And I want your honest take on them because I don't know another doctor is going to give me the fucking real shit.
I'll tell you exactly what I think.
I will. And I'll tell you who we had on and why and everything else. So we'll go from there. Tell everybody your company. We'll let you do the first one.
All right. So it's the Frank Institute for Health and Wellness.
Okay.
It's here in Wilmington, North Carolina, specialized in restorative and regenerative medicine. The great majority of what we do, especially for the drinking bros guys, is testosterone therapy. And, you know, it's looking at managing you as a human being. I hate this word, but I can't think of a better one.
Yeah.
Holistically understanding what's going on with you. And holistically meaning the entirety. So you give us a call. It's 910-679-8534. And I made the mistake last show of giving out my personal email. And
oh, shit. Did you really?
Yeah. The one that goes directly
to me. It's
probably
over now.
Yeah. So that's so that's bye-bye. So we have an email. Because one of the things I love about what I do is my personal relationship with these drinking pros. Yeah. I call them. I know them by first name. They call me by my first name.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit because I know that, you know, like, I talked to one guy just had a kid today. Or had a kid 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, the police officer in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Oh, shit. He was down in the studio.
Yeah, same guy.
Dude.
Yeah,
so asking me. It was like, hey, man, is the fucking Dr. Frank guy legit? And I was like, yes, it's great. I go to that fucking guy every day.
And so he, you know, I get to know these guys and I share in the good and I share in the bad.
Some of these stories are dark.
Yeah, and they
are. Look, mine was dark when I came in. Yeah, I was like, hey, man, this is fucked up.
So, you know, so anyway, so I love that aspect, but when I had 150 patients,
yeah,
I could email guys back, and I have a lot more than 150 patients now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm getting emails from guys, and I feel bad because, you know, I'm returning emails at 1 o'clock in the morning, which is fine. I don't sleep anyways, but so we got a new email.
Okay, what is it?
My GM basically was like, no more personal email. So it's ask Dr. Frank. It's askdrfrank@frankinstitute.com. I check it. I do check it personally.
Ask Dr. Frank at frankinstitute.com.
But you know,
what's your number one more time?
It's 910-679-8534. But the girls are checking it too. So guys, just understand that there are four women also checking this. So some of the stuff you can send to my personal email, please don't send to this one.
You've hot fucking people that work for you too. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say, absolutely.
Well, I already did, so we're over.
Yeah, and it's funny too because I'll know, like Christina, who answers the phone the great majority of time. She'll laugh. She'll be like, "I just talked to a drinking bro," and he's like, "Wow, it's really Christina, the one that Dr. Frank said."
Yeah.
Or you know, Morgan talks to a lot of the drinking bros guys.
Are they all married?
So Christina's not, but she has a long term boyfriend. Morgan just got engaged.
Okay.
So she's getting married next year. Lexi, who a lot of guys will get their labs from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lexi is married. She's been married.
Oh, don't ruin it. Jesus Christ.
For a while.
It's fine.
And then Liz, my general manager, is not married.
Don't head up. Yeah, all right. So Liz is open and the rest are whatever, man. Yeah. Don't hit on the help, is all I'm saying.
No, I tell you what, man. Those girls are no bullshit. Those are tough girls.
No shit.
Yeah, they're perfect.
They're tatted up and fucking, hey, let's go.
They're tough chicks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
they're,
yeah.
I'm good. I'm just happy to be here. There's some times where they get going, and I'm like, I'm just going to hide under my desk.
They could overpower you.
Christina's a fitness competitor.
I know. Like,
she's jacked.
I know.
I wouldn't mess with her.
They could fucking destroy you.
Yeah, and Lexi's tiny, but she's like, uh-uh. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Like, they'll get real upset, and I'm like, okay, there's a place in Wilmington called Bento Box, which is a sushi restaurant.
People fucking love it.
So I'll be like, do we need Bento Box today?
Yeah.
You guys are a little bit riled up this morning. They're like, yes, we want Bento Box.
Sushi will change a fucking girl's attitude quick.
Dude, it changes my attitude.
Yeah.
I'm like, and yeah. I'll be That's like, true. I think That's you guys true. Need Bento Box. And they're like, you just want it, don't you? I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's been great, man. I mean, our phone, I think.
Good. If you got fucking bombarded, say your number one more time.
So it's 910-679-8534. And our website is frankinstitute.com. There's actually, if you want to submit on the website,
yeah,
you can. There's a little thing where you can submit now. I forget exactly what it says, but that will go to either Morgan or Lexi, and then they'll call you back. There's a symptom survey on there you can take. We just redid our website, and it's really very, very helpful, very informative. But yeah, I told the girl, because we got a lot in the 72 hours after the last show.
Yeah,
we got a lot of people calling, which is great.
Sure.
But
well, that's the beauty of me drinking this heavily, especially like stressed out, because you're at my house.
We're just sitting at your kitchen table.
You are sitting at the kitchen table. I've been, I'll go full disclosure here. I've been drinking these fucking seltzers. So we have the seltzer coming out.
Yeah,
I think
really
last
cool.
time you and I had dinner, and maybe right before Christmas or right after Christmas.
We were at when I was with
my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and I just went out and got some wings one night, and I was like, hey, man, we're working on this. We've been working on this seltzer, right? So we have it all dialed in and everything else, but we keep tasting like all of the new ones and everything else to make sure it's better and everything else. And this fucking Bud Light Platinum Seltzer, I don't like the taste of it. However, it's an 8%. And I was like, we were at 6.76, and I was like, oh shit. The White Claw.
This White Claw is only 5. So I don't drink seltzer except with you. The only time I drink seltzer is when I'm hanging out with you.
The only reason I fucking do it is because of calories and all that bullshit. Yeah. Like, I can't. Otherwise, I'd eat goddamn Domino's every night and fucking just cases of craft beer. Like the craft beer where it's just, But that's like a million calories. So that's hence the seltzer thing. So I think, because I just had a call earlier as I was like, hey man, Bud Light went to 8. We got to go to 8. Mm. We got to push this up to 8. And he goes, let's ride it to 8, brother. So I think the seltzer is going to be 8. And
dude,
8, I mean, look, 7-6, I was getting buzz. But 8, we're ready to kick this up. I'm surprised they fucking sell it in stores. But here we are. So we're working on that. And that's why this conversation will be more honest than ever.
When's it coming out?
Hopefully by the fall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So I have a distribution call on Thursday, which is the day after this airs. I have a distribution call with them. And what we'll do is online first, because like the FDA has got to approve like a bunch of weird shit on the can and everything. It's like wording.
Really?
Yeah. And so I got a laundry list like full of it today. Shit you would never think of in a million years. And you're like, oh, all right. And then once you start looking at cans, any cans, no matter what it is, you wonder why all these fucking phrases and words and all this shit are on there. Well, it's because it has to be. Yeah. Otherwise, shit, I just put 8%. Let's rock. And then that's the fucking name of the seltzer.
So we just kind of redesigned our office a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so our waiting room has changed. And so we have like a little bar area, not like alcohol bar, like coffee and tea and, you know, and drinks. We're putting your 8% alcohol seltzer in there.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be great. People are just going to be hanging out in the waiting room.
Raging. So this fall, I think, is when it'll be up and launched. Nice. Yeah. We have like a batch of, I think it's 300,000 gallons we made right now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but it's got to go to like a bunch of people. So
okay.
It's got to be tested and all that stuff. And they, like, shit you don't think of, where it's like, hey, man, we're going to put this in a, like, the frozen tundra. And then, like, in a like hot climate.
Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah. I mean, well, and for reasons like that. So when ship it all over the country, it doesn't explode or it doesn't freeze or it doesn't, you know.
Oh, shit. I never would have, I mean.
Me neither.
It makes sense.
Dude,
but you're
I've
like,
been on like endless calls for that. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. It's interesting. Like, yeah. I don't mind it. And plus, I love it, so I don't really give a shit. The only problem is to fill that gap from here to there, I'm kind of testing out everything else just in case something comes out where I'm like, all right, sweet.
Can you say the name or?
No, I can't.
Not yet.
No. So even that is like you're going through trademarks, and then the FDA has to approve your fucking name.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Jesus.
So you can't just name your drink whatever you want, right?
You can't name it like the Frank Institute. Like I just like, I think I'm going
to
name it this.
No, because you would have to prove like that you're not scientists. As a doctor, you're not medically saying anything that's in the seltzer or all that other bullshit. Like, and then, the same way with Stonks, by the way. I'll tell you this. The reason why there's that disclaimer where it's like, I'm not a financial advisor is, I guess if you're giving out financial advice, like for real, you could be sued. It was just like, hey man, do you not know that stocks are gambling and so is everything else? Like, this is fucking stupid. Why would you? But I guess you have to say it. So, whatever. Shit, I got way off topic. But
that's what we tend to do.
Sponsors, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. They're doing something rad here that has never been done before. And so much so that I told somebody else to buy a mattress and then get these other things. 40% off right now, bundle package, adjustable base, mattress, whatever else you want, 40% off. 30% off individual items if you use the promo code Drinkin' Bros at checkout. Fantastic deal. Then they're saying, hey man, if you buy a mattress and just post it online, like just on your Instagram, a picture of you in the bed or whatever the fuck it is, just tag at ghostbed and then hashtag Drinkin' Bros, and they'll send you 2 free pillows. That's the deal I would take. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that either, but again, I had a lot to drink tonight, so I don't really care. I'm sure Rich will call me and be like, hey man, what the fuck? People aren't buying pillows or whatever. I was like, look, the pillows are fucking amazing. For real. And they last for like 5 years. When you take it out of the box, it's like 15 degrees cooler than the rest of your house. And you'll understand. You're like, oh, well, shit. That's why. I don't know what the fuck it is or why they're doing it and blah, blah, blah. But I know this. They're just as good as the mattress. And if you want them and you want to lower your bill, I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. Buy the mattress.
I'm sitting over here.
Buy the mattress and adjustable base for 40% off, and then just take a picture, put it on Instagram. It doesn't even matter how many followers you have. Fuck, create a new Instagram, you know? Say you are who you are, and then they'll send you free pillows. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there at ghostbed.com/drinkin'bros, and you can couple all these deals together. However, I'm just saying, man, you know, maybe do the 40% one, and then get the pillows online just for promoting the product. Next up, we've got GetRoman.com/drinkin'bros. Roman is everywhere, by the way. Man, motherfucker, how much do they have? Actually, I probably can't say that. Whatever, they're awesome. They're everywhere, and that shit is great. So good for Roman. I actually think it's a family company, too.
It's a father and son. The father's a urologist, and the son, if I remember the story correctly, great company. They really do a good job.
Yeah.
As someone who's in the business, quote unquote, I look at Roman, I'm like, well done. Touche, gentlemen, touche. Because they're doing it the right way.
Yes.
And they're taking care of people.
Yep.
And, you know, they're not screwing people over. It's not a number. It's a numbers game, of course, because it's a business. But they're actually caring. And it's something that's actually, as someone who's aspiring to kind of do the same thing, but for, you know, testosterone.
Yeah.
They really do a great job.
They nuked Viagra, I feel like.
Oh, smoked it.
Dude, I don't even, I never hear about Viagra anymore.
No, why ever would you?
Well, this gets shipped to your house. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkin'bros now. Something's off in the bedroom. You know, you just need to try not to think about it. Pop a little pill. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED. All the comfort and privacy from your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. Medication is appropriate. It ships you free in 2 days. Whole process is straightforward, discreet. So those are packaging, by the way. You don't even know what the fuck it is. It literally just says Roman on it. Nobody knows what it is. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/drinkin'bros. Complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today and connect with your healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkin'bros now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 off your first ED treatment. Because this is one thing that I wouldn't come and see you about, even though we're fucking homies. I'll be like, hey, Dr. Frank, my dick doesn't work. I'll tell you everything else about my life, just not that.
You know what? I don't want to know.
Luckily,
Roman's going to handle it.
Yeah. Look, that has not been the problem, luckily, so I'm all right.
It's strongly, you know? Strongly bull.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe at one point in my life. It was a lot of stress 1 year. I think I wrote, produced, and starred in like 3 movies the same year. And I was like, look.
That's a lot.
And I wasn't even sure if I had dick problems or I was just like, I didn't have time to fuck her. Whatever it was, man. It was. Last but not least, we got, again, way too honest tonight. We're sitting in my fucking house, dude, having
some drinks.
Having some seltzers at 8%. This shit is legit. Gabby.com/drinking bros is our next one up. Last one here. That's GABI.com/drinking bros. You're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. This one's actually, it's just free. There's no obligation. It's like Kayak or Orbitz, and it's just simply for fucking car and home insurance. So you go in there, and you're like, all right, great. How much do I want to save? It'll pair up your prices and all that other shit, and that's it. You're good to go on that one. There's a brand new website, and there's nothing involved in this, dude. You just show up. And say, what am I paying now? What would I like to be paying? Shit out the window. Could I get some extra shit with my stimmies? Maybe. Maybe you can. Go to getgabby.com right now. Actually, it's just G-A-B-I. Look at that. How fucking novel, dude. You're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to gabby.com/drinkingbros. That's GABI.com/drinking bros. Gabby.com/drinking bros. I'm going to spell one more time for the people on the way back. GABI.com/drinking bros. Gabby.com/drinking bros. Check it out. It's all you're doing. Like if I could do that with you, I would. You know, if there was a website where I could just put other doctors up against each other and just in a fucking pit fight, you know, just,
I'm going to win that fight.
Fight to the death.
I'm going to win.
You would against anybody I've had. Most doctors are pretty gimpy.
Most are. Plus, I've done my own fair share of training. So
yeah,
not as much as some of the guys that listen to you, but I've done enough where, you know, some shit goes down.
You're fine. Weren't you like working ring shit for UFC at one point?
Yeah. So I've done one of the cool things I've done is I got into it when I was a fellow.
What's a fellow?
A fellowship. So when you're,
yeah. We don't say that. Okay. And it's something you would say in the gay community of like, oh, I got into it as a fellow. And the next thing I know, oh, I had a dick in my mouth. Oh, I had a dick in my mouth.
In my fellowship in neurorehabilitation after leaving my residency.
Yeah, not your gay homosexual tendencies. Yes, that's better as a fellow.
So I did my first fight and I loved it. It was really cool.
Who was
it? It was for a tiny fight production in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is right in my training. And so I've done probably 30 or 40 fights in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But the UFC has come to North Carolina twice. It was Raleigh last year and 2 years ago it was Charlotte. Or three years ago. And I was a ringside doctor for both of those.
Oh, shit.
That was some really cool shit. People ask me all the time, what's the cool thing you did in sports? Because I was a professional basketball player. Like, I've traveled and played on national teams. They're like, what's the coolest thing you've done in sports? Hands down,
yeah.
The UFC fight in Charlotte. It was take a professional basketball, football game, hockey game, and a Rolling Stones concert, and put them together, and that's the UFC. I'm like, I got friggin' chills just friggin' thinking about it. It was the coolest thing ever. Dana White, say what you will about that man. That man knows what he's doing in terms of marketing, and he's a genius.
I've met him, and he lives up to the hype. Like, I will not tolerate any fucking Dana White slander. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, that dude in real life is the shit. And, like, he's running a fucking business, you know? So if people are pissed off about certain things, like, he's also running a fucking business. Yeah. But he tries to make the best fights and do all the coolest shit. Me personally, I love him.
He does a great job. But, you know, he understands how to present a product. And, you know, one of the things that my job, my biggest job in the local fights, the little fights here in Wilmington and the little, you know, guys, this is their first fight or their second fight. My job is to make sure those guys go home safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, most of the fighters around here know if I think they're getting beat up, and it's the same refs, it's the same fighters, the same doctors, the same refs, everybody knows each other. And you get to the point where you're doing this for 6-7 years together.
Yeah.
It's just a look. The ref will look at me. I'll look at the ref. I come in there, and I'll kneel down in front of the fighter. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? You know, looks like how's your training going? You look a little gassed. And no, I'm fine. You know, they'll flex and puff up. And I get real close to them, and I'll say, if you're done, you need to tap me on the leg. And I've had guys tap me on the leg, and I'll be like, oh, and I'll make some shit up, be like, oh, well, this, I'll do like a neuro exam, like some dumb shit neuro exam that doesn't know. Anyone who's watching me be like, what the hell is that? Like, I'll just make it up, but in a way where I will create some kind of something where I'm like, oh, man, you know, he can't fight anymore. Fight's off, and I call the fight. I look like the asshole.
Yeah.
The fighter gets all pissed off. You know, it's this whole dance and charade that goes on. But, you know, and I've had people throw stuff at me. I've had people boo me. I don't give a shit because those guys go home safe, and literally you get to fight another day.
Yeah.
I was doing the Charlotte fight, and I can't remember the fighter's name to save my life.
He can't remember his name probably.
Hey, not that fight. And I was sitting next to the head UFC doctor, who's one of the coolest guys I've ever met. And he got knocked. End of the second round, it was a knee or a kick to the side of the head, and he was stumbling, going back to his corner. And my rule is I will wait the full minute. And when you hear the slap, that's 10 seconds. And they'll be like, corners out, and I go in. So I give the fighter the full time. If there's a cut, I let the corner work the cut. And then it's my turn. Because no one's there to see me. They're there to see the fight. So I'm going to give him every chance he's got. And I went in there, and I walked over, and I asked all the guys the same three questions. I said, if you see me in the ring, I want to know what the answer is. And he told me, so I'm talking to him, and meanwhile, the camera's right behind my head.
And he was all fucked up?
And at that point, he was okay. And I'm glad I waited because he was able to recover. But I leaned forward, and I'm like, hey, man, if you're done, just let me know, and I'll call the fight.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's people right there. There's a camera behind my head. It's being televised internationally. And he leans forward to me and goes, Doc, there's 75 grand on the line. And I was like, okay. He's good. And I just got up and walked out of the ring.
If he wins, there's 75.
Yeah. I forget it. And literally, I didn't say anything else. I turned to the ref. I clapped my hands like that. I'm like, he's good to go. And I watched the video afterward. And the ref, like, put his arms out, like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, you're not going to do an exam? And I get back and I sit down next to the UFC doctor. And he's like, that was an interesting response. And I told him what happened. He goes, yep. Correct response.
No shit.
Yeah, he was fine. He ended up losing in the decision, but he was fine the last round. He was fine.
Okay.
But that's just a difference in mentality. Is that, you know, had I stopped that fight, you know, this is these guys' livelihoods. Like, they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was in real danger, to be honest with you. I did not think that. If I did, I would have stopped it, and I don't give a shit what. Like, when that guy on Saturday got kneed in the head.
Yeah.
That was people are all pissed off.
I was not. So, dude.
That was a correct stoppage. I would have stopped the fight, too.
All right. So, I'm glad you brought that up. So, we have a UFC show on Drinking Bros Sports. By the way, subscribe to that. It's a separate feed and all that stuff. Separate YouTube channel, everything else, right? So, we were doing it live right before I came back here. Mm-hmm. So, we're watching it, and the reactions and all that shit are live, right? When he got kneed in the fucking head, I knew he was done. Like, mm-hmm. that was a vicious, vicious knee. And I was like, they should stop this fight. I don't even know why they continued to go throughout the 5 minutes and do that whole song and dance. Like, that guy seemed fucked up, right?
Yeah.
There was a woman who, or at least her username was a woman on YouTube who was watching, right? We have people write in questions and we'll chat with them and have beers and all this shit. And she goes, I don't know why you're breathing so hard right now. It's unattractive. This is not professional of a host and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and it was me. She was talking about me. And I was like, never done that before, right? Between this and Ross Patterson Revolution, I think I've done 1600 or 1700 episodes. Jeez. I know what the fuck it sounds like to people out in the world, for Christ's sakes. That moment, I was so shocked that, like, not only did I'm just caught up in it. So, like, yeah, my breathing was fucking heavy, labored, all that shit. And I just get out of the ring. And then they took him to get interviewed afterwards by Joe Rogan for like 5 minutes. And I was like, the fuck are you doing? Just somebody get this guy to the goddamn hospital. Like, that one was really hard to watch. But for you, it's interesting you say that, because it's like a lot of these guys, and we've had, look, Tim Kennedy's a friend of the show. He's been on numerous times, right?
I love Tim Kennedy.
Everybody loves Tim Kennedy. He's a better human than all of us, right? But he was saying, because we did... Matt and I, Bess, went to Madison Square Garden for the Conor McGregor fight, the night that he won the champ belt.
Yeah.
And so Tim was supposed to be on that card. And the guy he was up against, was either overweight or steroids, and it was out. And they were like, hey, Dana was like, yo, we're going to put you on the next fight or whatever. That means Tim had to cut weight twice.
Hey.
And he ends up cutting weight. And I, to my knowledge, I think it was his last fight after that. Cut weight for that next fight, got beat, and then called it a career at that point, right? But I asked him, I go, hey, man, what'd you get from this? Like, what was it all worth it or whatever? And he was, it was like, look, I love to fight, and it's fucking amazing or whatever. And yeah, dude, that money means a lot to your family. But he goes, something like that, where, you know, you're ranked at a certain number. He goes, dude, after paying your trainers and everyone else, because nobody fucking takes that into consideration. He goes, dude, I walked away with like 30 fucking grand and for getting my head kicked in for training for months and months on end for this one thing. And it was like, yeah, dude, if it's 75 grand on the line, fuck yeah, man. Like, you got to let him go.
Yeah.
The one that I would not have agreed with was Saturday night. I mean, that guy was fucking rocked.
Because I was actually on ESPN, and the host of the ESPN show asked me the same question. And I was like, he's like, well, how do you know that was the right call? I said, I could look at him and know he was, any physician who does what we do as ringside doctors took one look at that fighter and same reaction. Why'd they even wait so long?
Yeah.
He was done. If you look at the mechanism of the injury, if you look at the impact, where he hit him on his head, how he was staggering, you just get a sense that he's not there. Like, he's just not, his brain has been rocked and it's resetting. And if you let him fight, you know, that bad things can happen.
Oh, yeah.
So the next question that I got was, what about the eye poke? Would you have called that fight? And I actually would have been less likely to call that fight. And let me tell you why. Because I would have said, and I would have talked to the fighter, I would have talked to the corner. There's always other doctors there. It's not just you.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten everybody together and be like, look, this is my fight. I'm making the call. And I just drew a blank on the fighter's name. And I'll say, hey, fighter, if you can see out of that eye, I'm going to let you fight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the option because structurally, yeah, it was bleeding. It looked nasty, but it didn't look like there was any damage to the eyeball. And if you can see, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can't protect yourself. You take one more shot to that eye, I'm calling the fight.
Yeah.
And I would allow him to continue.
See, and that one I agree with as well, where in that fight where that eye poke happened, it almost looked like the fighter was looking for a bailout of like, hey, man, help me out. And I got fucking, and it was like, eh. I think you're good. I think you're fine.
I'd have let him fight.
Yeah. So,
but with the caveat is, if you are not protecting that side of your face and you're getting kicks or you're getting hits and it's clear you can't see it, the fight's over.
Yeah.
But if you can protect yourself, because if they're on the ground grappling, it doesn't matter if he only has one eye. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he's mounted and then he's screwed because there's punches raining down. But let the guy fight. It's the freaking main event. Like, unless his eyeball is on the ground, like, let the dude fight. Like, he's there to fight.
Yeah.
He's there. That's his job. That's what he's trained for. Millions of dollars has been spent in promotion. And I know it's not all about the money. It's all about the safety of the fighter. But that thing, you're like, eh, if I could see there really wasn't much damage to the eye and it's just some of the eyelid, I'm going to let him fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't blame the doctor for stopping it either. That was a nasty injury, but... I don't know. I'd let him fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I want to get into some other shits. This new medicine, as people are calling it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you about it.
No, I'm scared.
So we in Austin have this big ketamine craze right now where, hey, man, you go and sit with a doctor, get the ketamine done and all that other shit or whatever. Again, been drinking tonight, so I'm gonna have some honest stories for you here. I've had ketamine, not from a doctor.
Wait, dude, I think I need to open this one if we're gonna have this conversation. Can I open this one?
Go grab two out of the fridge, and I'll explain it to you. So, I've had ketamine not in the presence of a doctor. Definitely not in the presence of a doctor. There's a lot of people that just sell it for a hobby. Now, if you're listening at home and you're like, yo, what the fuck, Ross? It's a cat tranquilizer, for Christ's sake. So, no, it's not a horse. I think it's for cats, right? I used to date a vet, and she was like, hey, I have some of this ketamine. It's for cats. And I know a lot of first responders use it to calm down, like, fucking hobos and drug patients and shit like that. Either way, I was shocked when I got to fucking Austin and there was commercials for like ketamine treatment and all that other stuff, like on the thing. A lot of people say that it helps. Yes or no?
Interesting question. Does ketamine help? In the right setting, yes. I have a friend that does IV ketamine here. It's a mental
health. That's what it is. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
He does mental health. He does IV and intranasal, the ketamine spray.
Okay.
I have seen ketamine work for anxiety and depression when nothing else will.
Okay.
And I mean, these are people who have had what's called ECT, or basically shock therapy to the brain, where nothing else will help their depression or their anxiety, and they go on ketamine and it's a game changer.
Okay.
Here's my issue with what it sounds like is going on in Texas.
No. So everything you just described is what it is.
Okay, so they're not just advertising it just to advertise it, like it's an oxygen bar and
correct.
Just like, come and get your ketamine.
You go in and you got to see a doctor, and it's an IV,
yeah,
right? Because I was like, hey, man, we just go and just rip a rail and then see what happens. Like, sit down, and it was not what happens. And matter of fact, I asked a doctor there, and I was like, hey, man, I was like, are we just like pounding Gator Tails and then just kind of figuring out life after that? You're just gonna ask me some questions. And
I hope you didn't say
I
that.
I did. Dead serious. This fucking woman, and she was a doctor. She looked at me stunned. She was like, what?
Talk about she goes, life. She goes, like, what's a Gator Tail?
Yeah, she goes, who does that? Why would you do that? And I was like, college.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. But
that's
like,
awful. Oh my God.
Bud Light Platinum, but it's 8%. That's I had not had this.
I gotta
whatever.
Drive home, man. It's not around the corner.
Well, sorry, we'll get you a fucking Uber. But anyways, dude, she homegirl was stunned. She was just like, dude,
yes,
you can't
that's
say that.
Not good.
She's Christ. Like, you can't fucking say that shit. And I was like, all right. And I go, what's the real shit? And she goes, well, it's an IV bag, and you talk to a therapist and whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. But there is people that have said, hey, it's rad. I haven't tried that yet, right? I've only done... You know, lines. Yeah. Yeah. Dude.
So
yes.
Ketamine in the right setting is extremely effective, but it is no joke. You're looking at a run, an IV run of anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. You have to be monitored the entire time because it likes to play games with your heart. And you can trip out and it's painful.
Cartoon land is what we call it. In the biz.
In the biz.
In the K-hole biz.
And it can be very painful to get it. So
to get the IV?
Yeah. Not to actually have the IV, but to have the ketamine running through your body. It can do crazy things to you.
Now that I will say is true. Where there's some people who've done it and just been like, oh, shit, that's too much to deal with. I couldn't figure out what was going on or whatever, and I was like, drugs, whatever. We'll chalk it up to that. But would you recommend that? Because they're doing it here too, right?
Yeah, there's a couple people that
Christmas
do it here.
Abbott was on the show. She's been on the show a bunch of times. She said that I think they were starting it in Raleigh, maybe?
There's places around here. Like I said, there's a place here in Wilmington that does it. Mm. There are places in every major city that do it. You just have to be real careful. One, it's extremely expensive. So obviously for the person, it's extremely lucrative.
How much is it?
I mean, it's $2,500 for a series.
Fuck that. How many series?
It depends. 4, 6. I don't know.
Four times? That's not worth that.
I don't know. To be honest with you,
I'm guessing.
I'm guessing. Right. But it's expensive for the treatment course.
It makes sense because you're sitting down with like a therapist or something for like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just go in and be like, hey, plug me in. Like you're getting a freaking vitamin
it lasts,
C. IV.
Yeah. It'll last an hour, hour and a half. Yeah, that shit. Yeah. All right.
So, in the right setting, it's good.
Okay. So Dan's been doing the fucking mushrooms, right? The microdosing psilocybin.
Yeah.
I've seen them. They come in like these capsules and shit. Right. Anything to that?
So this is something I've only been recently made aware of in the literature.
Well, I'll tell you why. Colorado, I believe it's you're able to do it.
Yep. And Seattle.
Oregon.
Washington.
Washington. And I think Oregon's the other one that just went through as well. Yeah. So I think 3 states.
I don't know enough to speak on it intelligently. I do know that they're trying to use it in the same setting, using these microdoses to try and control basically hallucinations and try and reset the brain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, because, you know, one of the things that you have to worry about with that stuff is that it's not controlled. So you can get mushrooms that are one strength and yes. one strain, yeah. and the next time something totally different, and you can have two very different experiences.
Yes.
And so that scares me. Like, the ketamine is pretty much, it's ketamine is ketamine. When you're doing yeah. this other shit, yeah. you're like, so I don't know. Explains a little bit about Dan's behavior lately, but.
Well, I mean, shit, because he had the pills on. He was like, hey, man, you want it? I was like, what?
No.
And I was like, no, I'm good, no, man.
You're going to leave that
I was
alone.
Like, I got kids. I got fucking kids. Yeah, I'm a grown up. I can't just be tripping balls and then just fucking roll home. That's the other thing. It's like, dude, you don't know how long that shit lasts either. Like, that's a good 4 to 6 hours. And that's a college drug. Like, I'm not getting involved in that. But a lot of people, look, hallucinogens work for them. Mm-hmm. I just think you get a block off a long period of time, one would imagine.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's when you're starting to do stuff like that, that's not consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the reasons I use the pharmacy that I use, is that I know it's the same strength shit every single time. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it because I know, because they're the best. When you're looking at stuff like this, you're like, yeah, you know, I got it from some guy down the street named Bob who, you know, only has one, you know, one tooth and four toes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's growing this shit in his backyard. I don't know. That scares me.
Yeah, it's a long fucking journey for that shit. it is, man. Like, Jesus Christ. I've seen some of them take it, and I'm like, man, I don't know where you're going tonight, but I'll see you. I can't do it with kids, like, for real. I guess if you were in a setting where they could put it in you and it's controlled for like an hour, but I don't even know how that's possible, to be honest with you.
I'm not even sure what the benefit would be.
Well, the benefit is this. Well, for some people, shit, that's the other part of this. The benefit is this. Like, if you're, let's say, I mean, really fucking on the edge, and you want to clear out the hard drive. Because we had some guys who do the ayahuasca thing in Peru.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
They were rad, right? But you go down there for like a week, you're by yourself or you're with your buddies and a shaman and all that other shit, and you're good to go because you're in a setting that is completely isolated. You're not going home after work, you know?
And that's the same shit. They've been growing and using the same damn plants for millennia.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not, again, it's, but that's just because it's not grown and quote unquote medicinal or pharmaceutical doesn't mean that it's not consistent. That stuff, I'd be like, okay, I think you're getting the same strength stuff every single time because it's the same damn thing they've been using for 17 generations.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little bit of a different story. I don't know. That's not my thing. You know, if there's people that are into that, God bless you. This is not really my
and
thing.
And then we'll go with the hardest one last, all right?
Oh, God.
Acid. Some people are doing these fucking acid treatments and all this other shit. Like, Silicon Valley, they are fucking microdosing acid right now. And that is, like, the latest and greatest craze. And I read an article. It was, like, Elon Musk and all these guys. They go to these fucking parties. They all these Silicon Valley guys. You know, pre-moving to Austin, obviously, would all go and check out, and then they would say, hey, man, we could come up with new ideas and blah, 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 right? It's very 60s and all that other shit. Acid, to me, is a whole different world where it's just like, hey, man, could you come up with the greatest idea of all time? Maybe.
are you going to see, you know, pink elephants climbing out of the floor over there?
Maybe.
Most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, you're trying to find hallucinogens to treat something that affects everybody differently.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing is that, you know, you hear about, you know, acid and bad trips and stuff like that. Even someone who uses it consistently, oh, I got some bad shit and I had a bad trip. Well, now if you're doing it every single day, and who knows what the long-term effects of this is, you know, does it build up in your system? Do you have some sort of toxicity to it? There's a lot of stuff out there that, I'm not really sure. I just, like I said, that's not really my thing. So I'm gonna let you guys experiment with it and just let me know how it goes.
I would, like, to me, I was like, man, how can I make him super uncomfortable at the end of this show?
I'm not uncomfortable. It's just, I'm
strong
a little bit
acid. No, strong. I just think we've gone there as a fucking country, to be honest with you, where it's like everybody's looking for the answer or reason for something, right? No matter what it is. Me personally, I look at it more from like a scientific basis of like, all right, I believe in hormones and the way your body feels and everything else. I've always wanted to do ayahuasca just simply because it was like, all right, the hard drive is full. It would be great to go and empty it out. However, yes, I want to do it in the fucking setting like the guys on the show, like Logan and those guys. Like, yeah. I want to do it where I have 7 days either by myself or with a shaman or somebody else. I'm not near my family, my kids, or anything else.
Right.
For real. And like have whatever experience I'm going to have and then come back versus trying to schedule it into my afternoon of like, hey, can I go do ketamine from, you know, 5 to 7 and then come have a pork chop dinner with my family? Like, for real. Like, that's the way I look at it. Like, because that's the way it's kind of pitched to you. It's like, oh my God, this thing just come out. It's like 2 hours, whatever. I just do ketamine and do this thing. And I'm like, huh? Every time I've done it, I really haven't wanted to just go back to my real life afterwards. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's kind, that's kind of a checkout thing. You're like, you know, I'm going to be good for the next 48 hours.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like the ayahuasca thing I've always wanted to do. The other shit, it's like, all right, you know, college is college, right? And you've done all of the drugs and all of the things. You're right. Like mushrooms are different every single time. If it was regulated by the government, I think I would feel better about it. It's not. Like once weed got regulated by the government, I felt better about that, where it was just like, all right, what the fuck is in this? You know?
Yeah.
You're not buying it from some...
It's consistent.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even if it's not regulated, even if it's the ayahuasca stuff, you know, the same shaman and the same lineage of shamans is growing the shit from the same plant in the same area with the same conditions...
For like 10,000
years. For millennia. It's like that shit, you know, not going to be like, oh, well, you know, this is gray sunshine. And this one's pink vomit.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
just like, what? No, it's not how this works. Like, if you're going to do it the same way, but just, I don't know. That's, it's one of the things that frustrates me is there's all these different people doing all this different shit. And I'm like, guys, let's just go back to what works. Let's go back to what we know and understand the physiology of the body.
Right.
Let's do what the body is supposed to do. Let's not start adding all these hallucinogens and all this other shit and, I mean, people come to me and they're like, hey, what do you think of X? And I was like, all right, where do I start with the amount of stupidity that's going on with this idea?
Well, this is why I fucking asked you. Like, is there a point where you would ever tell someone like, hey, man, there's nothing more I can do for you. I think acid's your next way.
There have been a couple of people I've wanted to.
No shit.
Yeah, because there are people that come to me and, you know, I'm just like, oh, I don't even know where to start. And I've had people like that, really complex people that come to me with really significant hormone issues that they've been to another doctor and the doctor's no fucking clue what he's doing. And I come and I'm like, oh my God, like I don't even know where to start with this guy. And I tell him, be like, look, it's going to be 6 to 9 months for you to feel normal again. I just want you to know that. But it's, I can get you there and it's going to be fine, but this is what we have to do. This is the medication. Here's the protocol. This is what it's going to cost.
Right.
And either we do it or we don't. I know it's going to work, but you got to give me time. There's that, and then there's people that come to me and they're just, you know, oh well, I want, and then they try and dictate their own stuff. And I'm like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And there are some people that come in and they teach me things. I'm very open minded. But, you know, there's, it's just like, no, I can't help you. I'm like, if you can take these ideas and these crazy cockamamie schemes that you've come up with, and there's somebody down the road that can help you.
Right.
You know, but it's not me. I do what I do. I know my shit, and I'm very, very good at it. But this is what I do. You know, I'm not trying to do 15 things. I'm doing what I do, and, you know, people are getting better.
Yeah. All right. I thought I'd ask.
No, hey, man. Hey, but that's the weirdest thing you've ever asked me. Let's be honest.
What's the weirdest thing I've ever asked?
I don't know, but it's definitely not that.
Really? Shit. I think I asked you, like, give me the rock cocktail one time, you know? It's like, how do you get fucking Ryan Reynolds Deadpool? Like, let's get that going and, you know, give me all of the things. But you don't do that. Like, that's not a thing either.
So, and I will say this for my staff. If there's any way you can get Ryan Reynolds to come into my office.
No.
That'd be great. They'd be very excited about that. That's the one guy, all four of them are like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, okay, I'll do what I can.
He's fucking busy. So.
Oh, I know he is. But it just, the girls were like, oh my God, Ryan Reynolds.
Here's his whole fucking shit. Dead serious, right? Family Guy, for real. Like, that's legit. He's married to Blake Lively. I did accept it with her. She's rad. Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, Blake, her whole family was in the business forever, right? So, she was unimpressed by, like, all of it or whatever. Just wanted to meet somebody cool, have a family, and was like, look, dude, I'll quit if I don't have to work or whatever. Like, I'll quit acting. It doesn't matter. That's what happened. He's a fucking normal dude.
He seems hilarious. Eh. He's like real dry.
He's fine. Let's face it. He's okay. But to be fucking real here, I am probably airing out of shit. Who cares? He was very, very smart. So he took all of his money and started investing it into like Napster and like crazy shit, like from the get go, and then sold it and got out. So like he was fucking quadrupling his money and all this shit by just smart investments in different companies. Mm-hmm. That gin company's in aviation, or what is it, Aviator?
He just sold it
for like $300 million. Yeah. The Mint Mobile, because we're doing a deal with Mint Mobile now for a call-in show, right? He owns Mint Mobile.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck? So he's got a piece of everything. There's another dude on the show, Ray J. So we have his headphones. Buy Raycon.com/drinking bros. Those things are fucking rad, but he's the same way where like he took all of his money, mm-hmm. started investing it in all these different companies, and like he owned part of Bird, sold that, you know, the scooters.
Oh yeah.
Dude, Jesus. He's got the headphones, he's got all of this shit, and the only other person I can think of was Ashton Kutcher. Mm-hmm. And I did this gig for him years ago, and all of his money went into this angel investment thing. He owns like 40% of Uber and like all kinds of crazy shit that you would never know.
Really?
And you're like, yeah. But you're like, what the fuck, dude? So those are like the smartest people. Ryan Reynolds falls into that category. So if these girls met him, it would be because of how smart he is too behind the scenes. Like he's a funny dude and he's obviously jacked and all that other shit. But the way he's invested his money was very, very smart. So yeah, dude, he's got all of the things, right? Yeah. He's funny, he's good looking, and he's got a huge wallet. So
He's fine.
And you want to talk about a fucking dream here? Imagine just having to do like one movie a year. That's it.
Yeah.
Just like a Deadpool where you're in a mask. It could be anyone because you're just doing VO work at that point.
Yeah, voiceover work.
The other one was Edward Norton. When he was doing the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, that one time he was the Hulk.
I love Edward Norton.
He shot 8 days on set. That was it. The rest was all voiceover bullshit, and it was just like, yeah, and he hated it. I was like, this is stupid. I went out of this. Ruffalo was like, I'll take that paycheck, sir. No, and has made like a gajillion dollars. I wonder if Edward Norton's just like, motherfucker, dude. Should have just rode this out. Because at the time, Hollywood wasn't so like movie, you know, comic book crazy and all that shit. But they are now, and those motherfuckers won't leave that gig. Where it's like, hey man, pure Avengers hero.
I met Edward Norton at a bar in New York City one time.
He's taller than you think, by the way. Yeah.
Because that was
6'1".
Yeah. And he, I was
very smart guy.
I was sitting in it was like this little dark corner with this huge couch. And I was sitting there waiting for my friends. And this dude walked over. And I didn't really think anything of it. It was kind of dark. And I remember being like, hey, are you guys using the whole couch? I was like, nah, we're just going to use this side. He goes, oh, do you mind if my friends and I sit down here? I was like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we just kind of started rapping. And you know, bought me a drink, and we're just, you know, a good 20 minutes we're sitting there talking. And his friends come in, and he stands up and gets in the light and turns around and looks at me, and I'm like, and I even think I said, holy shit. And he kind of looked at me and smiled, and I was like, I know you. And he was kind of like, yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm like, cool. I'm like, sit back down. He goes, okay. And we sat down and hung out with him for like an hour, and then he and his friends left. Cool dude.
Yeah.
I mean, just a regular dude. Like, we were just... I had no idea.
Very smart guy.
Yeah. He was very I mean, he had his, because I was in medical school and he was asking me about that stuff. And I was like, you know a lot of shit, dude. Like, are you in medicine?
Yeah.
And I forget what he said. He goes, no, I'm in a business. Sometimes I deal with medicine. I'm like, what do you play, a doctor on TV? He was like, well, funny you should say that.
He's
a cool cat, man.
There was a story, because when I first moved out there, they were doing shit like American History X, right?
Oh, great.
One
movie.
Of my, a great movie. Great. One of my movie. Favorites. The director was a fucking cocksucker. His name was Danny Kay. I'll never forget this story. And we were at the same agency at that time. And so they were like, hey, Edward Norton's doing this fucking thing or whatever. And I was like, oh, man, that's dope. I just read this other script. I think it was auditioning for like a movie or something he was going to be in or whatever. And they're like, yeah, man, that movie's probably going to get pushed. And I was like, why? And it was like, well, the director got fired from American History X. I don't know what the beef was about. It was some of the studio, and Edward Norton was like, fuck you. I'll go into the edit and do the whole thing. I'll do it myself. I don't need you. Went in and fucking did the rest of it, apparently. So,
nice.
Yeah, dude. Like, he didn't give a shit. And I remember when he was dating Salma Hayek. I was at this, I think I had to work a gig, actually. It's like one of my first jobs in LA. I know he was doing rewrites on the back end for Frida. And got her the fucking Oscar and all that shit, and was just like, and sat in the edits too, I heard. So that dude's fucking on it.
Yeah, he's a good cat.
On it. Dude, you're a good cat. Shit, we've just been rapping at my fucking kitchen table here.
We've been,
probably like the like realest podcast of all time.
There's like a damn hurricane outside. We're, too.
It's windy here.
It is.
This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. It's your third time on the show. Who do you got? I know it takes a village to build a man.
Yeah.
But who do you got?
You know, it's this is going to be a little bit different and moderately cliche. I think the first time I even talked about my dad, my brother, my brothers. And, you know, I want to say, I think my drinking bro of the week is in broettes is my kids.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, like where we were leaving today. And I've said, you know, they know you. You know, they know Dan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was leaving and AJ, he's like, you know, Daddy, where are you going? It's late. Like, I'm putting him to bed. And I was like, well, I need to go on Mr. Ross's show. And Quora, who's the oldest one, was like, take me with you. And I was like, yeah, this isn't really a show for a 9-year-old.
Could you imagine if she would have came?
Oh, my God. Dude, she would be hilarious. She's hilarious. She's a little tiny me. and then, you know, my middle daughter's name is not Bunny. It's Eliana. But we call her Bunny. So uh-huh. Bunny loves you. She's like, is that the pumpkin man? I'm like, yes. Yes, he lifted up.
I was lifting heavy pumpkins.
The one
children,
that I couldn't
yeah.
lift up.
Yeah.
And then from the other room, AJ, my 4-year-old son, goes, welcome to Drinking Bros.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know. Is that, I felt like I felt that was a huge dad win because he knew the call line for the show.
Yeah.
But I look at them and I'm like, here are three children that are incredibly different that all came from my wife and I.
Yeah.
And they're so different and their loves and their passions. And it's just, it's amazing to watch them grow. Like we went to the beach yesterday
mm-hmm.
and AJ was like, oh, I forgot something. And gets out and goes in the house and gets this, like, I bought him this new little like dune buggy thing. He wanted to take it to the beach. And I'm watching him. I'm like, he's a little person. And I'm like, how cool it is to watch them grow and to watch them mature and learn and just be so passionate and excited about life. And I mean, it's just, it's really something special for me to be able to witness. And it's really, it's probably the most rewarding thing I've ever done. You know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like sometimes I want to tear my hair out, but you know, they inspire me to be a better father. You know, they inspired me to work hard. Yep. You know, to come to your house at 9 o'clock at night to do a show. When
you're welcome for that. Your yes. wife hates you, by the way, right now.
She doesn't hate me. No, because the kids
or me.
Were,
she fucking hates
she
me.
She actually loves way. You because yeah. she's. I'm like, yeah, you, I'm like, you like the vacation we're going on? Well, welcome to Drinking Bros.
Yeah.
So, and she's cool. Like, as long as the kids are in bed, because she had a 13-hour day today, too. And she's just like. Like, I got home, I got the kids, like, one of my patients made dinner for us, so I just threw that in the oven, the kids had baths, you know, she got home at, like, 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you want your wine in the shower or when you get out? She's like, I'll take it in the shower. That's, like, that's how I know if he's a bad day or not, if she could wait. And so she was cool. She's like, yeah, just, you know, go ahead, just help me get the kids to bed. And so got in the bed, and here I came. So it's, you know, it's why I work so hard. It's why I love what I do. And I look at them and I was like, you know, do any of them want to take over? You know, what can I teach them that I've learned in my life? And, you know, if they want to take over, great. Like my father in his field, in the field of speech therapy, mm-hmm. my father is a little giant, massive figure, hugely influential across decades. And he never once was like, I want you guys to become speech therapists. Speech pathologist.
Yeah.
He's like, find your own path. And that's kind of what I do, you know, I want for my kids. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, it'd be really neat for AJ, you know, one day to walk into the Frank Institute and be like, this is the second generation Frank running the Frank Institute. And it's just, it's neat to sit and think about that stuff. And it's just, it's like I said, it's the most rewarding thing I think I've ever done.
Yeah, man, I, you know, I would say that is why I'm probably so fucking stressed out too. Like part of this, right? So, because I get two kids, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing. Like, dude, I'm a piece of shit. But my kids are awesome and they're hilarious and they're great. I love
they are,
my wife
they are
and all
kids.
This stuff.
They're
great kids, right? You worry, at least I do, and probably you too, from all the hours you work and all that other shit, of like whether or not you were spending enough time with them. Mm-hmm. One's two, one's six. Every dad or mom or whoever said the same thing over and over and over again, right? It flies by so fast. Mm-hmm. It's in the blink of an eye and it's gone. But it really is true.
It really is true. It
really is, right?
All bullshit aside.
So when you're working this hard and you're, right now we're displaced and all that other shit, like, they're not in their routine. They're not in their fucking schools. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them luckily is you can zoom in for COVID or whatever the fuck it is. You know, you can go in person, which he was going, but he had to wear a mask and he didn't really know he didn't really know anybody in that class. Like, yeah. You're seeing fucking eyes. And then the other one's two, and I'm taking him out of preschool and all that shit. And you're like, fuck, man, I hope that all of this is worth something later on in the future, and like, and that you're not missing these moments, because that would be my biggest fucking regret, is just like, all right, sweet, man, you fucking worked hard as you could for 40 years, but you miss like your kids growing up or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I understand it, and it's weird. I mean, even that, because we were chatting before we got on air. I was saying, man, I was stuck in that fucking house for 9 days, right?
Yeah, with a two-year-old, dude.
Your power going in and out. Yeah. We had some weird shows on Drinking Bros. They were fun. I mean, one of them got pulled. Or maybe Ross Patterson Revolution, whatever. the sponsor was not happy, but whatever. But I'm going to get into that. but throughout it, there was one constant that I thought of where I was like, all right, I had not spent 9 days in a row with just my two-year-old, mm-hmm. right? And here I was, because we couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go into work, or you know, and I could do it from home. So therefore, I could do it late at night or whenever the fuck I wanted to. But the weirdest thing, man, was through all of this, like when he went to bed, it was like Castaway, where he was Wilson and I was Tom Hanks, and I was like, ah, shit, I just lost my best friend. So
right,
like,
right, right. He's your buddy.
He's two. I try to keep him up to like 10:30, you know? And I was like, hey, you
he's cranky as hell.
Watch some more basketball. He wasn't. And that was the fucked up thing. And nice. I was like, I wonder if we could just keep him up. And then my wife called and she was like, no, dude, you can't do that. He's definitely still going to get up at like 6 or 7 in the morning. And I was like, nah, we were up late partying and it's fine. Sure enough, next morning he gets up
early.
I was like, ah, shit, bro. Yeah, I understand the children thing, because it's the same thing. And like, it really is unexplainable when you sit and think about it, and you're like, man, they're different. All kids are different.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going to be, what they're going to do, whether or not you're doing the right thing as a parent or spending enough time with them and all that shit. I try to include them in all of the things that I do. Yeah.
So do I.
Sometimes, I don't know if it's age appropriate or whatever. Like, you know, I took my kid down to the field one time I had to go down and we're doing a live show, some football game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I took him down to the field and they were like, yeah, you know, kids can run around, do whatever. And I talked to this one dude, and I was just like, man, as soon as I get this conversation away, we can go up in the stands, enjoy the game and all that stuff. I look over and he's just chilling out with like these crazy hot cheerleaders, you know? And I end up getting a picture of it, because I was
awesome.
Like, oh boy. Anything ever goes bad in life, I just want him to be at least look at that picture and be like, hey man, your dad was pretty cool even though he was busy.
Yeah.
And you were hanging out with really hot fucking cheerleaders at it, like professional cheerleaders at a young age. So
that's,
you know,
cool.
Hope you get to see a bunch of cool shit. So we'll see. But you don't know. And you don't know whether or not you're gonna be old enough to fucking tell him all this shit. Like, so
I mean,
yeah.
My dad worked 70, 80 hour weeks for the majority of his career. He ran a rehab hospital in Chicago, and then he would go and see a full clinic. And but the one thing that my dad always did is he was always there at our games. And, you know, I've been very lucky, and I can do that, where, you know, with enough warning, like Cora has her little talent show, you know, second grade talent show.
Sure.
You know, that's next month, so I can block that off.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That means I got to work my nuts off the day before, that day, and the day after.
Yeah.
But I can do that. And that was like, my dad never missed one of our games. And, you know, so there's this horrible rumor about work-life balance. There's no such thing. I'm going to lay it out there. You know, it's how much you can tolerate. and how much your family can tolerate. And
that's why I hit you up today about being stressed out over shit. That's it right now, right? That's it. Where it's just, it's work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And you'll always have that lingering question of whether or not you did enough.
Right. And sometimes it doesn't need to be any big thing. Like yesterday we were planting bushes and trimming trees and stuff. And so I was outside with the kids, all three kids, and we were raking, and you know, I cut a bunch of big trees down. And we built like a fort in the backyard. We put all the trees together, and it was 20, 30 minutes. But it was so, they had so much fun. And we were laughing, it would fall down, and we'd pick it back up and build it again. It would fall down, and we're laughing and running around. And, you know, it wasn't a very big one. I tried to get my big ass in there and knocked it down, and my son got all mad and started throwing the sticks. And then we started chasing. But that's the stuff that's like, that was very meaningful to them.
Right.
And I could tell because they talked about it the rest of the day. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be these huge events. It's just, if you can take the time and focus on whatever you want to focus on, whether it's your family, whether it's your work, whether it's your volunteer, your religion, if you can focus on that for a certain amount of time, that's meaningful. And, you know, it can just be something little, like, you know, AJ climbed up in my lap yesterday and we were just sitting chilling, watching cartoons.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it was a really, and I could tell that he was happy and we were just laughing and talking and stuff. And that's how very busy people continue to make sure that they can relate to family and they can do all those things. Because when you lose the motivation to do that, that's when you lose your family. And these uber busy guys that are like, I'm just chasing the billions of dollars, they don't even know who their kids are. And for me, it's an easy trade. It's like, yeah, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do all that stuff. But there's going to be a point where I have to decide. Where it's like, I'm going to continue to grow Frake Institute and it's going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to lose all those things. And I'm like, I'm not sure that the cost is worth it. And so there's going to be a point where I'm going to have to say, I got to do one or the other. I'm not there yet. Thankfully, there's a lot more bandwidth. But,
yeah,
you know, I know it's coming.
I'm bumping up against it. And I think that's what I'm having a problem with.
Yeah, you are. You are bumping up against it.
Because, I mean, look, there's another show that's going down. Nobody knows about this. Friday night, you'll know. As we'll post it. But I got to go to L.A., and it's one of those things where I was like, all right, fuck, man. After all the – and I fucking hate Los Angeles. Like,
so do I.
I even knew living there. I was like, it's like Vegas, you know. I'll go and do as many movies and make the shit. And then you got to get the chips off the table because it'll either wipe you out or whatever. And I did. I got out just in time, and I was like, I made the right decision. I have some friends that are there that are not so fortunate right now. And it's like a fucking three-day trip, right? But I'm going to take my six-year-old with me. And I'm like, hey, go. You meet these cool people. The grandparents, my wife's side, are out there, you know,
nice,
whatever.
Nice.
Yes. So, like, at least there's that, and, you know, we'll get to hang out on a flight for 5 hours or whatever and do bullshit and, you know, eat cheese plates or whatever they still whatever they still allow you to do during, like, COVID times and shit like that. So it is. They give you a cheese plate. I've flown American so many times out of this fucking city that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a cheese plate. Love that cheese plate. And I think they changed the cracker policy because of me. Because it was always way too much cheese and like three crackers. And I bitched so much. I was like, hey, man, do you sell just extra crackers? I'll pay for them. And they were like, no, we don't do that. And now the last time I got on, I was like, I'll take that cheese plate. They came out and it was six crackers instead of three. And I know that I did that.
They were
that.
Like, that Ross asshole.
My lasting impact on this world.
It's the crackers.
It's not going to be this show. It's not going to be the movies, the best-selling books, any of it. It's going to be that cracker policy and that cheese plate. So no matter where you fly, man, you're going to have enough crackers for all that cheese. Dude, know that I did that.
My face hurts from laughing so much, dude.
If you turn around, there's only two set of footprints in the sand.
And there's six crackers around the footprint?
It was then that I carried you.
Oh, dude.
Oh, that's dude. Classic. Thanks for coming over to my fucking house tonight.
Dude, I gotta cut you off, man. There's a lot of cans of fucking Bud Light Platinum
fine,
on the table.
It's fine.
Some of them are mine. Most
it
of them
sucks,
yours.
But hey, man, that's why we're doing this.
I'm gonna try another sip here, so you guys can listen.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. It's not good.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean,
oh, the aftertaste
up.
Is the worst.
That's
dude.
What I'm saying.
Oh my god.
That's the dialing in. That took us like 5 months, dude. So, anyways, I'm gonna. What's your number one more time?
So it's 910-679-8534.
Okay.
Frankinstitute.com. The new email is askdrfrank, askdrfrank, at frankinstitute.com.
Good. I don't know how many times I've asked you tonight. But I hope it's enough. So without, you going to work on, when is this there? Probably Wednesday. Is there Wednesday night.
No, so what's the, I don't
if you go into work Thursday morning and your employees fucking hate you, like I hope it's that much. I hope it's that. And I'm even going to write the number in the description. So it's like, hey, man, call them and get fucking treated. Then that way, you know, it was worth it coming out of Carolina Beach.
They're going to be like, because I mean, after the last show, we had so many people call. We literally had to hire another person.
Good.
To handle Drinking Bros.
I want you to be as busy as I am, so that way when I'm stressed the fuck out and I come back and see you, I'm like, hey, bro, what's up?
I'm just
crazy.
Fucking stressed.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. Nothing would make me happier than for the next 2 or 3 weeks to just have hundreds and hundreds of Drinking Bros call
you
me.
You will.
And, you know, and there are some guys who are like, look, I don't want to do it over the phone. Is there someone that you can find locally? And I have taken the time to find someone local for that person. Be like, hey, look, I think this clinic is going to be okay for you.
Yeah.
Because I know, I've been doing this long enough. I know who's full of shit and who's not.
Sure.
And I'll be like, hey, man. They'll be like, hey, I looked at this clinic. I was like, ooh, no. You want to look at this one? They're like, well, that's a small clinic. I'm like, exactly.
Just get it fucking shipped to you. Dude, Dan just rolls in without a care in the world because he fucking injects himself and he's biohacked his body. And I'm like, fuck you. Do that. Dr. Frank.
My brother.
I love you, buddy.
I love you too, man. I
appreciate you coming down here tonight.
Oh, man, it's good shit. I think this will be a night that I remember for the rest of my life as you and I sitting here at your kitchen table drinking shitty seltzer and laughing our nuts
off. You're welcome. It's not my seltzer. I just want to point that out. It's Bud Light. I can say it's Bud Light. They're not fucking – I don't get dick from them. So, yeah, it's Bud Light seltzer. It sucks, but goddamn, it's an 8.
It's no First Leaf.
And it makes a fucking difference. Dude, First Leaf's shit.
Dude, so I have so
everybody,
now I,
dude,
I get first leaf.
Gets first
I get first leaf to the office.
Yeah,
and it's 6 bottles, and like my wife and I don't drink that much, so the girls are like, "Hey, is that First Leaf?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Yeah,
$30 for
yeah,
that shit.
Oh my god, it's
free shipping."
So the other one
I
is
don't know how they're making any money
is the Bespoke Post.
Yes.
So it is now
box of awesome.
Yeah, box of awesome. Yeah. So it is now a thing when they see the box come.
Yeah,
like all the girls get together and they're like, "Oh, what's in it?" And like
they'll take it.
Well, they'll look at it, and or you know, it's just like
all of our shit gets
else.
Stolen from the office.
Oh my god,
everybody fucking takes it.
And the girls are like, because it's like, hey, you know, it's time for your box, and they suggest a box, and you can switch them and stuff. The girls will be like, no, you don't want that. Get this box. And I was like, I don't want that box. They're like, well, I want this in it. I'm like, well, that's my fucking box.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope. And I'm like, god damn, it's just like at home. Get all my shit.
I saw fucking Dan rage out on somebody over the Felix Gray glasses. People come in and take those goddamn things, and like he wears them religiously, like all day long. I try to switch on and off, right? Because I don't want to be the full-time glass guy, but like at night and all the other shit, like I'll wear it, and especially for writing, it's great. And like Daniel will just be like, who the fuck everybody takes the Felix Grace as soon as they come in? All these.
What kind of staff you got, man, stealing your shit?
Well, fuck, it's chicks, and it's like, what are you, he's going to yell at a girl?
Yeah, he will.
No, I know he won't.
He comes off as a freaking hard ass. He's a sweetheart.
Very nice guy. I mean, he will murder you, obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing, though, was when he was at my house one time. He and AJ were sitting next to each other. And I'm like, here's my three-year-old son sitting next to a legitimate killer having just a conversation like two adults.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, at one point, I'm like, it's really cool and I'm happy. And the other point, I'm like, I'm a little bit scared.
I'm not sure
I want Dan to rub off on AJ. And
he'll come over to my house and be like, what's up, kid? That's it. Just kid. He knows their names.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
What's up, kid? Yeah. Go do that.
He's like, boy.
Yeah. That's Dan. Yeah. Super Southern. Super Southern.
Super Southern.
He's from South Carolina. What do you want? This was fun, man.
It was good, dude. Thank you so much.
Absolute fucking blast. And,
my face hurts from laughing. Shit you not, dude. My face hurts from laughing so much.
You're welcome. For Dr. Gabe Frank and the Frank Institute, I'm Ross Patterson. This has been another fantastic episode.